a look into the history of AEA and its scholarship program. I'm Paul Flack, and this is Arrow News. Welcome into the Arrow News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. At the 53rd Annual AEA International Convention and Trade Show in Florida, I joined ANN News Editor Tom Patton in the Arrow TV booth to talk with some of the executives of the Aircraft Electronics Association about the organization, its convention, and its scholarship program. I asked AEA President Paula Dirks to start with a brief summary of the organization's role.
The Aircraft Electronics Association is an international trade association, and our members are the manufacturers and distributors of avionics systems and equipment, including instrument manufacturers as well, engineering personnel. Our regular membership category is made up of the government-certified repair stations that actually sell and install and maintain these avionics products into general aviation fleet. And then we have a large academic membership as well, and those are the schools and universities that offer maintenance and aerospace engineering and technology degrees.
I know Tom Patton's going to be talking more at length with Mike Adamson in a moment about that. Talk about the nature of this show. I know that this is the first time I have been here, and I didn't really understand why it's a closed show, but now I get it completely. It seems like kind of a focused atmosphere for industry people. Tell us why that is and how it came about.
Sure. The annual convention and trade show is definitely a private, it's a wholesale trade show, and it's an opportunity and perfect venue for the manufacturers and distributors to talk directly with their authorized dealers and vendors. And during the 4 days of the show, not only is the exhibit hall open with all kinds of exciting new products and technologies that these vendors will be selling to the end user, the flying community, but it's also filled with multi-hours of training, technical training. Avionics technicians are the attendees in these sessions. They're learning how to install and integrate and troubleshoot the avionics systems into the general aviation fleet. So it is a very closed show. It's quality versus quantity type of arrangement, but it's just a meeting every year for the manufacturers and distributors to talk one-on-one and face-to-face about the new products, new technologies to their authorized dealer network.
I guess I have to ask you this, at the pace technology is changing in aircraft electronics, are you going to have to go to a semi-annual show?
It seems like that, doesn't it? Actually, we make up for that by having annual regional meetings throughout the world. As I said, we're an international organization. And so we bring the manufacturers not only together during the spring of every year at our international convention and trade show, but during the fall we travel to locations throughout the United States, Canada, Europe, and the South Pacific areas as well, where we bring those repair stations and those particular corners of the world together with the manufacturers to do mini versions of the AEA Convention and Trade Show.
I'm going to be talking a little more at length in a few minutes with Rick about the regulatory side, but there's a lot going on right now as impacts avionics and the installers between safety management systems and next gen and ADS-B and all that. Talk to the people for a moment who may be watching this who should be AEA members but are not yet. Who are these folks, and what's the case to be made?
Probably those very few who are not AEA members yet are definitely the government certified, in the case of in the United States, obviously the FAA Part 145 certified repair stations. We feel, obviously, we're very partial to the fact that we offer a lot of services and benefits to these repair stations in the way of group insurance programs, obviously a lot of technical training opportunities, our monthly magazine, Avionics News. But probably one of the most important benefits to belonging is indeed that regulatory representation. You know, we have a full-time office in Washington, D.C. that represents the repair stations in front of Congress and at the FAA headquarters, and we serve on regulatory working groups and so forth to make sure that the rules and regulations that are coming out of Washington and are coming out of all the civil aviation authorities throughout the world fairly and accurately represent the needs of the repair station community. So those are the people that, if they are not yet members, those repair stations should definitely investigate being a member.
Well, Paul, we really appreciate the chance to talk to you here. It's amazing that you were able to find a few minutes to sit down, but this place has really been bustling. But It's been very educational for me to be here as part of the media, and we thank you very much for your hospitality.
We thank Arrow News Network for being here and providing us all this opportunity to sit and talk with you a little bit and tell you about AEA. So thank you.
In a moment, a look into the history and purpose of AEA's education programs. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Arrow News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin Wass GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Welcome back to the Arrow News special feature. Today, featuring interviews with AEA executives from the 2010 convention and trade show. ANN News editor Tom Patton spent a few minutes at the show finding out more about AEA's educational outreach with the guy who heads it up.
My guest today is Mike Adamson. Mike is the Vice President for Member Programs and Education for AEA. Mike, thanks for joining us here today.
Thanks for having us, Tom. Happy to have you here.
Talk with us, Mike, about your role in AEA.
Well, I'm the, as you mentioned, the Vice President of Programs and Education. I've been with the association for 10 years, and I work a lot with members on their training and education. Obviously, it's a requirement for repair stations to get training, and we like to be their cornerstone of their programs. We work with a lot of our education institutions, along with our OEM members, to provide that training at these venues.
What kinds of challenges do you see in keeping up with an industry that is obviously rapidly changing every day?
Absolutely. Overnight, in fact. You know, the biggest challenge, I think, is to get the technology into the classroom. Obviously, students at the 147 schools are learning that the avionics programs are the programs they should be looking at. And to get current technology into those classrooms is difficult. There's quite a bit of expense in that. And we work really hard with our member schools and, of course, the very supportive manufacturers to get that equipment in the classroom. And then we provide the training as well at our facility in Lee's Summit.
I know that when I started flying, there wasn't any such thing as a multifunction display or anything of that nature. In your 10 years with the organization, what's kind of the biggest change you've seen in the industry?
You know, I'd say it's that. I think, you know, my early days in the industry, we were just launching the multifunction display in a small, you know, replacement size, so to speak. And then from that point on, it grew in size and has grown in popularity. And I'd say that really has turned the corner for the industry. Obviously, that's grown into larger primary flight displays, and that seems to be the thing now. So, you know, going forward, it's the technology that goes into that or is displayed on it, and that changes with software updates now. So it happens daily, and we're excited about it.
Talk to us about some of those scholarship programs. How does a student get involved with an AEA scholarship?
It's very simple. You know, we're what we consider one of the largest scholarship programs in the world for aviation maintenance and for avionics. And it's, you know, it's something we put out on our website, AEA.net, and the students simply download an application and they submit it. They have February 15th of every year to turn that in and apply it towards education at one of our 65 member schools. Pretty straightforward. Just simply go to the web and you'll find the scholarships out there. Now, we just finished our program and awarded $110,000 to 27 different students, and we expect you know, similar numbers next year. So we'll put new applications out on our website beginning about the October timeframe, and then of course you would have until February of next year to apply.
How are those scholarships funded?
They're funded by our partners on the associate level, the manufacturers. There are a few schools that actually underwrite those awards as well. Spartan, for instance, has two awards that are valued at nearly $35,000 each. And then we have awards ranging down to $1,000. So we've also got flight training scholarships for our members, and those are very popular as well.
How many students generally apply for those scholarships? Is it on a competitive basis, and or does pretty much everyone who applies get selected?
Well, we had about 400 applications this year, and they're merit-based awards, and the competition is stiff. These students know when you want to go into aviation, you know what you want to do, and you're very very direct about it, and that shows up in their applications and the way they gear their extracurricular activities. A lot of them are involved in experimental aircraft builds. They're involved in Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts. So they do a lot of things that prepare them for careers in aviation, and that shows up in those applications. Very competitive, but your chances aren't bad when we're giving out 30 awards every year. So,
what other kinds of programs are you working with?
Obviously, our focus is training and education. And so my primary goal is to get cost-effective training to our members. And if we can't do that at our regionals or convention, which we do a lot of, we try and deliver it at our headquarters in Kansas City. And then finally, we do a lot with our online training for members. So you can stay current with your regulations. You can stay current with some of the technical training on our website. So we're always looking for new things to make training cost-effective and affordable for our members.
Mike Adamson, Vice President for Member Programs and Education at AEA. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Tom, and thanks for being here.
Find out more about the Aircraft Electronics Association and its programs on the web at AEA.net. We'll have more conversations from the show in the next few days in this AeroCast. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.